Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the program. I always try to find a little different way to open each program if I can, although if you go back and listen to the 500-plus interviews that we've done over the last 10 years, it's a hit and miss, but be that as it may, we're here Sundays. We're here one of those days during the week, Sundays from at 7 a.m., 7 p.m., Mondays at 1 a.m., streaming live at richardtugan.com. We also archive the programs. I guess the modern 21st century term is podcasts. I've always called them archives. I mean, they're up there. You can listen to them whenever you want at the radio shows page, and you can go to the link that is next to the play button for the given interview. Go to the website of our guests and see and hear more about what they are all about, what they're doing, and just continue, as I've often said many times, continue your study, your research, your investigation, see what resonates with you at this table we call the smorgasbord. Call it the spiritual smorgasbord. How about that for 2018? Take what works for you and leave the rest. Take what you need and leave the rest, because there's more than enough for everybody. And maybe you can come back a number of times. Maybe something doesn't quite resonate with you today. It might tomorrow. We'll see what happens. Anyway, today is going to be a good program, a fun program. I think we're going to have a lot of interesting conversation with our guest today, and I think that you're going to enjoy this program. We're going to get some answers to some questions that we've been wondering about. I have something loaded up on my tablet here, and I just shot right past it. There we go. And what is interesting about today's program is that it's with the author of a number of I've lost count of how many books she's written. Bridge of the Gods is what we're going to focus on today. It's a master book of her Global Divine Consciousness series, and it touches on all aspects of mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual evolution, setting the stage for advancement, igniting the flame of God within, and giving methods, meditations, examples, and practical applications, exercises for on-the-spot transformation and raising up into the God level and ways of accomplishment. We'll find out all about that with our guest, who I am very pleased to have joined us. But before I bring her on, I want to share something that she has in her book here. And I really liked this, and I thought, you know, I really want to share this here, because I think this is really cool. For the sons and the daughters of God in their day shall be like lightning, which flashes on the lights and lights up the sky from one end to the other. Nor will people say, in seeking the Father's glory, here it is or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, and the living Christ shall rule the earth. And I like that. It's very, very cool. We're going to be talking today with Reverend Dr. Linda Dickhoff. And Reverend, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Oh, well, my pleasure, Richard, and thank you for such a wonderful introduction.
You know, this is a process that we are going through we call evolution. Regardless of what the, I'm not even sure how to categorize them. Those people who don't believe in evolution, I remember when the controversy really arose when I was working for the Christian station back in the 80s. And no, there's only, it's creation and 6 days, et cetera, et cetera. And I would always come back regarding the poo-pooing of evolution. Hey, God created evolution. Get off my back.
Well, spirit is which we are, you know, in reality we are divine spirit in manifest form, and we are ruled by consciousness. So there can be no growth without conscious evolution. And we're all about that, you know, and I believe that, you know, like Emerson said, you know, if God has placed me here, there's a reason that God has placed me here.
Right.
You know, and that was sufficient for him to realize that we do have purpose, and, you know, and we have a purpose of evolution to do our very best in this earth plane to become, you know, one with that divine self and to bring it out into all our, you know, all our concerns. Mm. That's why I say on every level, you know, if we're really, really consciously making our efforts to transform, it's going to manifest in better physical health, mental health, emotional health, spiritual well-being, more wholeness in life, more completeness, because these are all the attributes of the divine God self, which is the center of ourselves. And, you know, the point is to connect with that, to be able to transcend the things that we see on the outer, you know, the material plane, and to realize that we are causal being and that experiences have not come to devastate us or for us to become stuck in them. They're actually tools or catalysts that we have, you know, when we're looking at our lives from the high point of view and the high reason, we see that experiences are here, you know, that we can overcome the world. And by plumbing the attributes of the divine self, which is like a hidden gold mine within, if we're not succeeding in anything or able to easily overcome, then there's some divine attribute we need to introduce. For instance, like more love, faith, the many names of God, more courage, whatever it is. And once we have taken on that particular attribute, we will transcend, evolve out. This is evolution. It's constant motion. We evolve out of the necessity to have that condition because we've gotten the divine point. Do you see what I mean, Richard?
I do indeed. And what I find interesting in the conversation, I don't want to use the word argument because hopefully it is a conversation.
Yeah.
Is that all right? I try to give somewhat salient arguments or take salient positions when it comes to this conversation between our origins, if you will, where we come from, as well as where we're going to. All right, let's take education. The child comes into this world, reaches the age where he or she is supposed to now begin preschool or kindergarten. I remember when I started kindergarten and first grade, second grade, third grade. What is, and this is a question that I ask somewhat rhetorically, well, what is the reason why this child is being sent to education? Why is this child being sent to an institution? Well, it's for the purposes of educating the child, of getting the child to learn how to read, to write, to think, to do math, to learn about science and all of the various arts and so on and so forth, learn about hopefully other cultures, etc. Well, what is that process that this child is going through as he progresses from kindergarten to first to second to third to fourth to fifth, 10th, 12th, post-secondary, postgraduate, etc., etc.? What is that process called? Well, there's only one word I can come up with. It's evolution. It's an evolutionary process in the educational system.
Right. It implies increase, expanding outward, becoming more all-inclusive.
Yeah. So why is that such a difficult word for people who have a problem with that word when it comes to man's origins to comprehend? My struggle. It's like, if you don't believe in evolution, then you don't believe in education. You don't believe in the physical growth of a human being, because from the combining of the two cells at conception, that is evolution of a human being.
Yeah. So it's just a word error.
Yeah,
I think so. All words have have associations or images come up depending upon the individual.
Mm-hmm.
So to one person you say God, and they think of, you know, a guy in the sky.
Yeah.
You know, to another you say God, and they think of the infinite, the all, the grace, the bounty, the something, the thing that has no names, the great I am, you know, the mm-hmm. force of the universe.
Right.
So it's in evolution or expansion allows us to take on more and more sensibility about what is real. And, you know, education serves this world. The child is, you know, educated to be able to be a contributor to society, to be able to function in society, to, you know, find a way to achieve the goals that that person, you know, will be revealed to that person in life. But the greatest education that can be given is to realize who you are, you know, who you are, and that the infinite possibility lays before you. Now, when you look at any of the great beings, they may not have had come from money. They may have had, in fact, very, very rough conditions. But because of the state of the adults around them who would, you know, promote them, love them, support them, believe in them, they were able to evolve out of the most terrific conditions and to demonstrate that greatness of spirit that's within. So, you know, it's like God bless the child who has a parent or who has associations that let them know the truth about themselves from the beginning. Then whatever the child is doing to evolve in this world, you know, to be able to handle this world has the backing of the knowledge that I am one, you know, with infinite spirit, and I have a purpose here. I have something that is unique to me, though I am one with everyone and all that is. There is a special uniqueness to me. So educare means to lead out. And so the optimum educational systems, you know, are encourage the child to find out who they are, because there's only one. You know, this. Everybody has a different thumbprint, different, you know, eye recognition. There are no duplicates in this universe. So we don't want to make carbon copies. We don't want to make our children carbon copies of anything. We want to provide the way, you know, for them to come to be guided to find who they are in God.
You know, it's interesting you talk about duplicates, and I remember the observations that I have of my education from, I'm going to guess, the late 60s, mid-late 60s through the 70s, and this was officially my education, and then, of course, I went to the School of Hard Knocks after that, and I've learned a heck of a lot more.
But there's that school, too.
There is, absolutely. And the tuition could be a lot or could be a little. Just depends upon which version of that school you go through. But
yeah. What
I found fascinating, to your point about, you know, making duplicates, and, of course, it is impossible. But what I found interesting, when I went through biology class, I remember we were taught that boys and girls, speaking specifically of human beings our age, they learn differently. Girls, you know, they're a little quieter for the most part, in general, mm-hmm. And they develop a little sooner than the boys do. And the boys are more fidgety, and they're wanting to run around and do this and that and the other thing, and because they're so full of energy. And of course, as boys go, every boy is different as an individual as well. But in terms of boys and girls, you know, we were different. And I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, look at me. You know, I'm bouncing off the walls kind of thing and having a great time, but getting reprimanded from time to time. Okay. And then I get out of school, and now it's in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And the educational system is having difficulty controlling the children. So we're going to create, and I may be wrong about this, but I really do feel that this was created. We're going to create a syndrome so that we can give these kids drugs to normalize them, to calm them all down to the same level so they're all the same?
Well, we do have a culture that is very intertwined on drugs as being the answer, which they're not. I mean, they can be of assistance to, bring the peace of mind where you then can, make the changes necessary. But the, we want to, the ideal is not to throw everything away, that might be of assistance, but to develop the spiritual power within. And, like how many people know really how to heal themselves? How many people really know that the divine power in us is capable of healing any and all things without limit, that there's nothing that can be overcome? And so if you don't know these truths, now if you have a headache, you can go take an aspirin, but still you know that there is that in me that can ultimately cure this headache. Once I get to cause and once I heal at cause level. So you want to get off moving chess pieces around the board, and trying to address things so much externally, because it's never addresses the cause, which is always spiritual nature, no matter what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, financial or physical or emotional, at the root, it's a spiritual problem. So once a person begins to use those divine healing currents that are in the universe, for example, and know how to work them, they will be the person, that can go to sleep with the backache and wake up with the backache gone. They can be the person, like your wife, getting over a terrible condition through her determination. Why would a person believe they can get over anything?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they? Because they sense this divine presence and this wholeness, this power that is within. And so when you learn that the technology, spiritual technology, of how to address circumstances from the very beginning when they arise, you are going to transcend those. And when your top goal is, I'm going to be the wholeness of my God self, my divine self, after all, we are children of the Mother, Father, Most High. We have all the attributes in us, and experiences help us to are catalysts that help us to stir up those hidden resources and begin to use them quite consciously. And so there's many strides in growth once people realize, what one is really one with.
Mm.
Because, whatever we think, we form a deduction in mind, and that governs it governs the entire unfolding of the external experience. So if I think I can't do something, well, that's going to govern my capacity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to the degree I think I can't, even if it's, I'm 49, I'm 51% I can't, I'm 49% I can, I'm going to demonstrate, no matter how hard I work, no matter what I do, that I can't.
Yeah.
The outer world is going to reflect to me the sum total of my thoughts and feelings.
If you say you can't,
at the same token,
can't.
I can feel that I can't,
mm-hmm.
but I shouldn't suppress any feeling. I just recognize it. I can say, but I know there is that in me which can. You don't suppress something, but you bring the truth out, because the truth is that in reality we're all one with the limitless light, And, you know, she, that came from heaven, meaning highest consciousness, the light, can return.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at it like life comes into the mixture here on Earth,
mm-hmm.
you know, an individual life.
Yeah.
And through the overcoming, transcending the joys and the challenges, the whole experience that the soul has here, it evolves, and you know, like a plant arising, coming out of the soil,
yeah,
and becoming beautiful and radiant. And so, when you see life from that point of view, then the experiences that come, no matter what they are, you know that they're not there to, even if you don't know how to handle it, you can start by knowing that they're not here to devastate me. They're here to stimulate, to catalyze the greater in me. And so, you know, it's also said by the great mystics, you know, we have two choices. One is to respond to anything whatsoever from the divine in you, the totality of love, light, wholeness, and completeness, or to respond from, I'm just a human being, you know, to settle for less, to let it overcome you, and not to realize that this could be the great point, you know, where you can transcend. But it takes a stretch. You have to work those muscles like going to a gym, you know. And when we've grown, evolved, and found the divine attribute, and we're working it, like if we've been a hateful person, we become a loving person, and our entire universe changes. We don't have to go through that chronic type of situation again. And chronic situations are always about that. It's always about something, some unresolved spiritual matter. And so once those, you know, we have antidotes, right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody can get poisoned, and there's an antidote physically you can give, but the divine attributes, love, peace, courageousness, on and on, you know, the infinite names of the character of God beyond our conception, once that antidote is applied, the thing is healed, whatever it may be, bad relationships, bad health, you know, poor health, poor, you know, financial. In each thing, you know, like when in the links, you know, when we want to go anywhere nowadays, it's just so wonderful. You know, you pop a link and there you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
In an instant.
Yeah.
If your computer works good.
but
you know, it's like that. When you link up to God before anything else, when you're addressing, no matter what the issue is that's in front of you, you are like instantly on that new page. And you know, who really, no one knows the future. And we don't have to know the future. We don't have to know the ways and means, so to speak, of how some healing, some manifestation, some miracle will come about. We just need to know that I need to link up, acknowledge and link up with the greater, you know, in me, and then the answer, the solutions, everything necessary will come through that first act of acknowledgement. Say, you know, I feel like I can't, but I know God in me, you know, the complete essence of wholeness, capacity, strength, peace, whatever is needed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we pray, you know, to and give thanks, however you pray. Simple thanks is great. You know, thank you, God, give me the strength I need. Mm-hmm. Give me the idea I need.
Yeah.
You know, and you contemplate, you know, when it's evolving, you don't have to know how you're getting there, because the instant you get on the path, adjustments and changes start to happen everywhere, just because you have stated, I'm going in this direction. But what is extremely helpful is to get a picture of yourself, no matter what the condition may be, mm-hmm. that you want. Get a picture of yourself, contemplate yourself already there.
Mm.
What would you be like?
Yeah.
You know, see yourself there, and that's the picture, since we are always feeding our subconscious mind as the builder of our worlds, and it takes our information, you know, from us and then goes to level, work on every level on the invisible planes to create our world. This is how mind works, you know. So, but if you give the picture in gratitude, you know, thank you, God, infinite self, whatever name you want to use that connects you with the great all and the all, you know, I now have perfect sight, for example.
Mm-hmm.
My sight is perfect. You know, thank you, I now have that.
Yeah.
So now you've set, like, a basketball player, you know, shooting the basketball to go into the net. You've set where you want the infinite power to take you, and you bring the vision, you contemplate the vision, you know, you meditate upon it, and, you know, if God can, I can.
Yeah.
You know, if the truth is, if God can do it, I can do it, because God is in me.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, and so we want to stop thinking in terms of limits, and you know, that this life is all there is. For example, I'm just a material being. No, this, you know, you want to think of life in terms of greater and greater stages, so that you have an infinite horizon always before you. If I did something great yesterday, I can do it greater today. If I have good health now, I can have greater health. I can go on and on and on. And that's the truth of spirit. Spirit is, you know, infinite and eternal.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to look at this experience as an experience to treasure being on Earth, and flexing our spiritual muscles, developing them, growing, evolving, and knowing that when the time has come to go to the next stage of being, we will do that. We will have done all that we can do, and we will have, you know, grown exponentially in awareness of who we are and capacity to manifest it in life.
You know, that's
a tall order.
It is.
But when you live from that point of view, then you see experiences differently, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we're trying to do, too, is see things from different perspectives so we have a greater understanding. One of the aspects, too, I'm wondering, too, and have you elaborate on this as well, you use the word perfection. And I remember some years ago doing a word study on that, specifically dealing with the passage in the New Testament for those who are of the Christian philosophy, where it says, "Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." And I thought about that for a long, long time, because...
Yeah, that's a statement to contemplate all your life.
Yeah, well, the conversation that I was involved in at the time had to do with the rules that we live by, you know, God's rules and or man's rules, you know, the right and the wrong, the good and the bad, the white and the black, et cetera, et cetera. And I began pondering that passage and going, okay, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I thought, okay, well, what is that perfection? What does that mean? And I could have gone to my concordance and looked it up, but I thought, based upon having read the Bible a few times, both old and new, I thought, okay, well, it can't mean good or bad, right or wrong, black or white. Be perfect, even as, present tense, your Father in heaven is, present tense, perfect. And then I thought of, in the Old Testament, where it talks about, I am, be still and know, I am, God, present tense, God. Okay, well, all right, putting some of these other elements together, that definition in that passage specifically isn't dealing with doctrine, dogma, right, wrong, rules, etc. It's dealing with that perfection is to be, just be who you are, and you are perfect because God is. He just is. And again, if we choose to use the patriarchal construct, that's really what struck me. And when I realized that that's all I had to do was be. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do the right thing or get punished for the wrong thing, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. All I had to do was be. And it made all the difference in the world. I'm not saying that, you know, I've found it, folks. I'm still looking, you know, like everybody else, because we're all human. But that was a wonderful eye-opener.
Yeah, be ye perfect, even as your Father, you know, the Heavenly Father, Mother of us all.
Yeah.
Our own Father, Mother, you know, the Heavenly Divine Father, Mother of us all, be ye perfect. And to me, you know, when you ask that, what is perfection? You look out at the universe, you know, out of your own personal world, you know, just stepping out of that and looking out at this incredible, you know, earth that we live on with these, you know, I'm looking at right here, I'm looking at fantastic snow, shimmering trees, beautiful blue sky. You know, the perfection is all around us. If we have the, and it's in us too, if we have the eyes to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so good to, you know, there's many spiritual tools. Forgiveness is a great tool that allows a human to move forward. You know, the capacity to let go, really let go, which forgive means let go, basically, in peace, whatever they need to. When Christ did his healings, you know, he never saw the imperfection. You know, someone came, the blind man couldn't see, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he just saw the perfect being within. He didn't stop at the appearance, how it looks on the outer.
Mm-hmm.
He recognized the presence of the Father within that person, and then the person saw. But it is a secret to healing to know that that perfection is within, and that's why we want to contemplate ourselves to the best of our ability in the most harmonious, you know, as the universe is, in the way of the universe. The way of the universe is love. Only love has the power to produce life in this universe.
Mm.
So if you know, so the life-giving principles are love, our faith, are all those elements, those intangibles of spiritual quantity that actually bring power into life. Anything that takes away from life, fear, you know, hatred, and so on, you know, those are there to be overcome so that we may also be like the Father and bring more life. You know, Holmes says, nothing in the universe acts against itself. Otherwise, you know, everything participates under the divine direction, the divine hand, in a harmony, you know, the harmony of the spheres. and things seemingly inanimate objects would have respond to this divine presence, this divine power. The planets don't crash into themselves. You know, the sun comes up every morning, visible or invisible, lights up our earth. There's a constancy, there's a harmony, there's a power that's achieved with this interaction of peace that goes on in the universe. And so, you know, it should be within, we should be that, strive to be that way ourselves.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the first thing that came up when you mentioned especially the planets not crashing into themselves, I think on a microcosmic perspective, we have millions of people every day, specifically in this country, who get into their vehicles in the morning and they travel to their place of employment. Many, many of them, and I couldn't say what the percentage is, I'm sure someone's got that statistic somewhere, are not in that vehicle and consciously 100% aware of what they are doing. They're thinking about something else. They're thinking about yesterday. They're thinking about tomorrow, what they're going to do when they get to work, et cetera, et cetera. And I have often thought when I've looked at or listened to the traffic reports, especially coming out of Los Angeles, because I can pick up LA stations up here in Santa Barbara, and I listen to the traffic reports every 10 minutes as they do them, and I'm thinking, okay, there are a lot of incidents that they're reporting, but based upon the volume of people, the volume of cars, and people who are not consciously present in the moment, it's amazing we don't have more. And so then I wonder how much is spirit involved in our ability to get from point A to point B without being consciously aware? Because I know you've probably had this experience. I know I have, where I get in the car, and this is a dangerous thing to do, mind you, and I head off in my destination and I'm totally aware of what I'm doing. The next thing I know, I'm at my destination, and I can't remember how I got there.
So you did a little traveling there.
Apparently,
while you were driving.
And so I wonder how
multitasking.
And I wonder how many of us do that. Plus, the fact I wonder what the involvement of spirit is, the universal power, if you will, to help us to avoid the crashing planets syndrome, shall we say?
Well, some do and some don't.
Well, I agree. There
majority,
is a small percentage.
You know,
yes,
you're right. I mean, when you think about it, the distractions,
yeah,
you know, it basically, you're talking about the distractions and the inability to live in the moment.
Exactly.
You know, like, I'm amazed, you know, for kids today with TV, you know, let's say they're watching a show. They watch a show for 5 minutes, then 5 minutes at least of commercials, equal time, come on.
Yeah.
Then they're supposed to go back to that show.
Yeah.
You know, and have continuity. Well, how can that barrage bring any continuity unless you have really evolved, you know, the power of attention and focus and being present? You know, it was so easy for the focus to be broken up because things are so broken up. And no wonder kids have ADT or whatever they have, mm-hmm. you know, the attention deficit.
It's
so you
not...
say the whole society is suffering from attention deficit.
Hey.
Because we need to concentrate on what's real.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we can do our best here, you know, what's real in truth, and go about life in a very truly victorious and successful way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm amazed, just like with the traffic. As spirit, you know, there's no life without spirit. Spirit is life,
mm-hmm.
and the life that we breathe, you know, is the the divine breath. We live on the divine breath every moment.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we have life. And we can expand upon that, you know, and use this great, great opportunity. And the wonderful thing about truth is that it's an endless fountain. So once you discover a little bit of truth that, you know, no matter what you're going through, God is present, or that wholeness, the answer is present. A little bit of truth like that can changes your entire universe. All the great mantras, you know, God is need and need met in perfection, you know, they're all mantras of synthesis with this great harmonious universe. And so if that's the song you're singing to yourself, you know, or I can overcome, there is that in me that can, there is a perfect way. All we have to do is state the truth that is, even if we're not able to you know, experience it or haven't experienced it yet. All you have to do is know the truth. And the real truth will be some you know, aspect of harmonious, complete being, because that is the substance of God in us. You know, so I do like to think of life as moving, expanding, you know, outward. Every time you think of creating something, you think of making it, you know, better and better. Life being greater and greater, not diminishing, not living from day one with the thought, I'm dying, what's the use, you know, and of thinking of an endless stream of life that is there for you to explore, expand, to have greater joy, to do be more of what you already are. But it's our responsibility, since we have the free will, to choose to bring it out or not. You know, so I remember one person I was talking to, and she was so interested in metaphysics, which studies the great realities of the universe, the principles that exist, which we can use, and so on. The liberating, truth is so liberating. And she said, oh, I'm so interested, but I think I'm going to have to wait till next lifetime to do it.
know?
So that's a lot of waiting, you know. Like, do it now, seek it now, because it's only good news.
Yeah.
And it's the good news that doesn't go away. You know, it never disappoints. It's good news, and it's permanent good news, because it's truth.
Absolutely.
And so when people study metaphysics or truth in depth, you know, they go into the universal teachings, because you'd never have a true teacher would never be arguing about truth with another true teacher. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're on the same page, maybe expressing it differently, but, you know, Jesus and Buddha would not have argument.
No.
I would imagine that they would be nodding and appreciating.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, all the time. So the study of truth, you know, you have to, truth, maybe at some point it would strike someone like lightning, like Saul on the road, and you'd have the illumination. But for my part, the best way to go is to seek it by learn, you know, seek the path that resonates with you, that which, you know, and you'll know what it is, because it's going to make you more loving, more aware, more joyous, stronger, you know. And if you're finding that through the words that are being spoken to you, then that's the right path for you, because there'll be a visceral change if you're really seeking truth and seeking to live your life to the most complete God level that you can, you know, you're going to find ways to work that path. And so my book has, Bridge of the Gods, has lots of really practical tools for physical healing, mental healing, spiritual, you know, all the levels we talked about. It really covers the gamut, because with the mind of evolution, then we know there is a pattern. There are these divine patterns underlying the universe, which allow it to operate freely, regardless of what mankind does, you know, and it goes on. So these divine patterns, when we bring them in for body, for example, you know, one of the great statements when you're not feeling well is just to realize my body is one with the body of God.
Mm.
Perfect circulation, perfect, you know, to realize that underlying every single organ and all the organs in the human body are meant to, you know, function harmoniously, you know, in a synchrony, in a symphony
mm-hmm.
of life, you know, underneath each, behind each organ is a divine idea. You know, heart represents the flow of love through life, you
yeah.
know. So when you look at heart problems, you don't want to look at, you know, you don't want to just be taking your pill, you know,
right,
for high blood pressure or whatever, you know what I mean, or whatever you want. You want to look underneath and heal consciously and give thanks for the assistance to your infinite father, mother, and that you heal those areas in heart, you know, in the expression of love, you know,
mm-hmm.
that those are healed. So in the heart, for example, venous blood, you know, somewhat poisonous blood, you know, goes through the ventricles and all that, and is purified in the human heart. So it should be with our experiences that when we go through things, we really attempt to bless, forgive, purify, release back to the infinite, so that our heart remains pure, you know? And it's for ourselves that we forgive, and it's a tool. God doesn't need to forgive anything, you know? But the tool has been given to human beings to be able to overcome, free themselves, and go on with their good vision mm-hmm. in life.
We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to continue our conversation here because I want to ask you some other questions, especially in light of some of the other things that I have read, and of course talk more about Bridge of the Gods and other works that you have out as well. I
okay.
also like this dedication to our risen civilization, to the Christ-raised Atman, beloved of the Father, born anew in the heart of humanity, the temple of the living God, and the glory of the heavens brought forth. I want to talk more about that as well here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we want you to stay with us here. We'll also give you the website to Dr. Dickhoff's website in just a couple of moments here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, along with my very special guest today, Dr. Linda Dickhoff. And we're talking, of course, about a lot of different things here. But, of course, the latest work that we're talking about is Bridge of the Gods. It's interesting how, depending upon the philosophical bent, if you will, that you were born and raised into, kind of determines your philosophical bent today as an adult, maybe. I'm curious, before we delve any further, about your beginnings in this whole aspect of the divine and so forth, and your parents and family and relatives' influences on you as you were growing up.
Well, growing up, my family is Roman Catholic. So growing up, you know, we went to church and all that, and I also, I loved meditation, so I would go more often, you know, just to sit and meditate and contemplate. But then, so there was, that was a great strength to be raised with that. And yet I had some, at that time, you know, I can remember taking some classes when I was very, very, very young, and there would be, you know, things put out like, well, you know, it seemed that only Catholics can get to heaven. At that time, you know, the way they put forth the religion.
No, I remember. I remember.
So much better.
Yeah.
And it just was a mystery to me. I could not comprehend it. Why would a loving God, you know, why would he insist, you know, that you have to be this way or that way, you know? And why, how come my neighbor, who's my good friend and who's just wonderful, can't get to heaven?
Yeah.
That, you know, as a kid, this is my dialogue. And I realized very early, as much as I loved the purity of the aspects, that there's so much interference. You know, once a thing is in structural form, the church itself had a lot of growth to do, you know.
Yeah.
And it has been doing that, so that's very good. You know, the original meaning, or the meaning of Catholic, is universal. So I've always, I just came in that way, you know, believing that all people are important, significant, one with God, and, you know, although people have different traditions, we're one at the root, you know, so everybody's entitled to pick their favorite tradition. And as I went on, you know, after receiving training in Catholicism, you know, and I realized that it wasn't, to my view, really empowering people, maybe because to address life in a very successful way. There were the don'ts at that time, you know, the thou shalt not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering about, what are the thou shalts? You know,
yeah.
What are the thou shalts?
Where's the other side?
You know,
well, like, equal time, please.
So, you know, there wasn't enough constructive thought that you could apply, you know, at least in my experience at that point. And so, especially when I got into college, I really, I think the first dawning of interest, true active interest in metaphysics, although I always knew that, you know, I was interested in it from day one, was because I was interested in the cause of things, you know, what causes and what causes disease, what causes, that was always been on my mind.
Hmm.
And but in college, I remember we had an elective, and there I had majored in acting and did some wonderful roles, and great things happened from there. But that you had the opportunity to take an elective, and it was on super consciousness. And I really, really loved that class because it started to open up, you know, to what that super consciousness or higher consciousness, divine consciousness is. And I knew that that was the, you know, that was the beginning of it. So I spent quite a number of years acting on Broadway and all of that, following that experience. And then I came to a point where that other interest took over, and I was becoming less and less. I loved the acting because I loved interpreting characters and doing all of that, but there seemed to me there must be something greater, and that's when I started to look into metaphysics and was just blessed with literally the greatest teachers just appearing in my life that I didn't even know that I was seeking, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that I was looking for these people. And a lot of the people who were on the forefront at that time, we had the, in the physical world, you know, the Ida Rolf and all the, you know, innovative therapies, Gestalt, and all these things that were happening for healing, you know, mind, body, and being. But and the most important was when I, you know, as I sought through things and looked at different systems and ways that came to me, I thought they were all good, but nothing led me to feel that I had found it. And it wasn't until my very first real teacher of truth, Lester Levinson, who founded Mind Freedom, now called the Sedona Method.
Oh, yes.
Lester, you know, I spent many years actually with Lester and studying, and I knew that I had found it because he went beyond. There was no longer, you know, life was not, you couldn't find life by looking in your experience. You can't find it there. You can't find the reality of life by looking at who hurt you and who did what and what was a good time and what was a bad time, you know. You have to look underneath all. And I found at the bottom of the, you know, the bottom, the deep bottom, is the light, is the sunlight, is the sun of the light of spirit. That is who we are. So from that deep center, you know, you can overcome, and you never need refer to any experience ever again once you've healed yourself about it, you know. And so he had some wonderful, wonderful methods, and I knew that I had found it, and he just, you know, he just manifested in my life quite spontaneously. And I knew that I was looking for answers, but I did not know from whom or how that would be. And with all of the investigation and great friends that, and associations that I had, you know, and all these, you know, new technologies and methods, none of them were hitting home for me until I met Lester, you know. And then I didn't need to seek anymore. You know, then I did not need to seek. Because I had a path that I could research infinitely. And he was the first one to talk about this universe being a universe of law and order. You know, love and law. And from him, I knew that I could be free. Free of the past, free to expand its far as I want. And the truth is we're all as free right now as we ever shall be, you know, but it's how we use it. So, you know, we're free to shut the door,
right?
You know, or free to be open at the top.
Sure. I've even told people this, that, and again, this is just an observation on my part. I'm almost being apologetic of my own statements, kind of like Mr. Kazantzakis of the book The Last Temptation of Christ in his preface. And I remember reading it because I was so curious as to why there was so much fervor back in the 80s over this movie. And he says basically in it, he says, these are just my musings. I'm not saying that this is the truth or this is the way it happened. I'm saying, what if? What if? So I'm saying that when you talk about, you know, we have this freedom, there are some constructs, man-made constructs, that I use the term are irrelevant to the divine and to spirit. And the concepts are freedom, liberty, and privacy. They are all irrelevant because this is the reason I come to this conclusion. If God, the divine power, however you want to determine to describe it, is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, all is already known about you. Mm-hmm. We are all connected. I use the example, for example, of the Star Trek Next Generation character, the Borg. They're all connected, even though each one of them has a different task. They're receiving message from a higher power, if you will. And as far as these constructs that we live by for liberty, that's an individualistic construct. And we're not, even though in this material world, yes, we are individuals, but at the same time, we're not, because we're all connected. You affect me, I affect you. And when we begin to realize that, we begin to adjust and alter our outward actions based upon our inner understanding that I am you and you are me, and I don't want to hurt me, so why would I want to hurt you?
Exactly.
So those constructs, in my estimation, in my observation, they're not wrong, they're not bad. They're irrelevant. They're irrelevant to a true spiritual life.
What does the words can only rise, you know, the meaning of words can only rise as high as the consciousness that's entertaining them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so when you say, when one person says liberty and another says liberty, you know, it's going to be entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
But the oneness, the uniqueness, you know, even the constitution of the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
you know, is one undivided.
Yeah, indivisible.
Nation.
Yeah, indivisible.
Indivisible nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it is as spirit that we are all interdependent, all interconnected.
That's it.
What I do affects everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so yet each one is unique. This is the thing, that there's no repetition. So nobody will conduct a radio show like you will. There's no other Richard Dugan. There's no other Linda DeCoff. And there never will be. Yet we are one. You know,
right.
We're one, but each one has unique strengths and assets and characteristics and so on.
And
a path where they're evolving,
yeah.
you know, evolving to be the best self that you can be.
And I tell you, the very unique and wonderful and amazing thing about it all is, going back to my observations of L.A. traffic and the fact that there are so few accidents by comparison to the volume of cars on the road, it's amazing that we are able to, on that spiritual level, accomplish the kinds of things that we do as a collective group who are working, hopefully working on that at that higher level.
Oh yeah.
It's just absolute. And you know, there are times when, you know, I look around and I unfortunately end up getting distracted by the material world when I look around, and I'm going, we haven't accomplished anything. I mean, if anything, we've barely crossed the threshold of the cave that we've been living in since we've been here. You know, and then at the same time, you know, when I get together with folks of like mind and soul and spirit and so forth, I think, wow, boy, this is pretty cool. We've come quite a ways. And I realize that it has nothing to do with how far we get. It's not the destination. It never has been, because whatever the destination is, we'll eventually get there. It doesn't matter. Matter of fact, I remember a conversation with my brother. We were walking in the desert after a family reunion at this Elks Lodge in central Arizona. And I was chatting away about, oh, the things that I've been doing and researching and beliefs and this and that and the other thing. And my brother says, well, geez, it's about time you got it. And I said to him, I says, no, it's not about when you get it, but that you get it.
Yeah.
And when you get it is when you get it. It doesn't matter. There's no timetable.
I like to think that everybody is getting there eventually.
Yeah.
And each in their own time.
And we're there to help. We're there to assist. We're there to support in whatever way that we can. You know? And I mean, I get frustrated when I do, like I say, look at the material world and I'm going, does man really deserve to continue on as a species? Look at what a mess he's made.
And God is really tolerant, right?
And he wants to go to Mars, too, and do the same thing there. You know? And I'm going, hey, calm down, you know? Because one of two things is probably going to happen. Either A, we're going to continue on, or B, we're not. Okay? And there's nothing I can really do about that. I still remember hearing the stories about Armageddon and the end of the world while working at this Christian station. And I was there for 15 years. And after about 8 or 9 years of this, I'm going, is there any way that I could help to facilitate the speeding up of this process so we can move beyond this silly story that I'm really getting bored with? You know, I mean, if there's going to be an Armageddon, if there's going to be an end of the world, if there's going to be an Antichrist that's going to take over, can I help bring that about now? You know, because I want to move on to that 1,000 years of peace and everything. Of course, they never really talk about what comes after that. But nonetheless,
you know,
it's just one of those things.
The domains of peace,
Yeah. And what is it?
So much energy is, you know, on this plane is involved in conflict,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
Even within the soul, you know, an individual soul, there's the, you know, the struggle, like Jacob wrestling with the archangel, struggle between the higher and lower elements of oneself and making the greater choices. But, you know, at least being willing is great, but there are people who are stuck in resistance, terrified on a collective level, leaders, terrified of letting go the old way that has worked for them, you know, the way of the strong arm, the way of the bully, whatever it may be. It has seemed to work for them, and this terror, if I let go and be a loving, all-inclusive, you know, risen being, maybe I'll lose everything, you know? So fear, I really believe that fear is the underlying cause for the continuing, ongoing problems that just have gone on for so long. And, you know, whether it's a person or a country, it's no matter. Everybody is under the same divine laws.
Exactly.
You know, country to country is like person to person. There has to be that forgiveness in order for people to move out of centuries of identifying with the past. There has to be mutuality, mutual benefit. In agreements, life is not a one-way street.
No,
you know?
It's not.
Plus, there's a big lane above, and we've got to harmonize. We owe it to our divine Father, Mother to harmonize there. But, you know, you can see how easily situations would be resolved, you know, if people didn't have such a buildup of fear and programming.
Yeah.
They could let go. They could build anew countries I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, have the resources put into that rather than fighting, holding on, brother against brother, country against country, you know. But that's a massive thing to ask for people, from people, cultures who've been steeped in it for so long.
Yeah, it is very difficult, yes.
You know, and so that's what's taking time, because until things reach a collective mass, you know, that 50% strength, the new thing doesn't really take place, although it's present in many, many individuals all over the earth, long for this peace. You know, they long for, you know, to have good relationships, the people themselves. And they long for the education. They long for justice. It's present in the people and has been.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but it's the really up to leadership. You know, leadership is, if you're in leadership, you're in a powerful position. You can heal the world.
True. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so
the question is, are you
choices.
Willing to do it? The question is, are people willing to do that? Are they willing to make that step, or are they going to stay focused on, you know, what's in it for me and what can I get out of it and how can I, you know, because I know this won't last forever, so I better feather my nest. I better take advantage of the situation.
And then what? You know, what you only get to take with you who you are.
Yeah. You know, here, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, here in Santa Barbara, we had, of course, the massive fire in December of 2017, and then in January we had the mudslide in the Montecito area in particular, and so forth. And I have said this since I've lived here and have experienced these fires over and over and over again, and then of course these kinds of situations in January of 2018. These events are the great equalizer. It doesn't matter what your position and status socially, politically, economically are, religiously, whatever category you want to put. When these events happen, if your house gets burned to the ground or slid off the hillside or whatever the case might be, you lose everything. Now you're like, you are like everybody else. Everybody is now equal. There are no greater and there are no lesser. We're all humans. And they seem to realize that. They band together. They join together, realizing that, hey, I can't survive unless I help others to do the same. I know I need to take care of me too. And that's extremely important. And the old survivalist rule number one is take care of number one, because then you can't take care of two, three, four, and five if you aren't taking care of you. Mm-hmm. But everybody's the same now. And there is nobody higher or lower. We all are now in it together. And that's why we use the analogy of the lifeboat. It'll hold 7.5 to 8 billion people, but there's a condition. You have to be willing to let go of the old ways. We're going to try new things. We're going to try new ways.
And the potential is humongous.
Oh, it's enormous. Absolutely enormous.
You know, I mean, if people, you know, could see from God's point of view, you know, when they make a statement or try downing another race, another religious tradition, if they could see from God's point of view how, you know, how it really has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God at all. That kind of opinion, separation, separatist, better or worse thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't. So until you arrive at a platform where you see that, yes, indeed, all people are equal, all people are beloved, all races are God's rainbow, you know, all are precious to God, until you've arrived at that, you know, it's such a lower level to be in enmity, and you cannot use all the great things, all the great energy, creative energy that people have if they were not caught up in separation, would be used to be just creating, inventing, developing new ways, establishing a whole new world.
Yeah.
Here, you know.
Well, I have to say that one of the things that I for example, I noticed in our last political cycle, and this was at more than just one level, the use of divide and conquer was used.
That's an old political tool.
I know.
And, but it was, you get but the it people was, warring amongst themselves. Yeah. You can do what the heck you want.
Exactly. And I thought, wow, do you people not see what's going on around you? And no, because they were too busy fighting amongst themselves because they had been told that they were different than the people on the other side of the line. And that the other people on the other side of the line, not only were they wrong, but this world would be a much better place if they were just gone. And I hear this kind of conversation on some radio programs, which I will listen to for a split second and then tune out, turn to a different channel. And I think, you know, number one, you complain about the other side. First of all, I would say, don't you think you owe them a great debt of gratitude for the fact that if they weren't there, you'd have nothing to talk about? All right.
How true it is.
And number two, if you had only gotten out the volumes of people that you say you have on your side to vote to make sure they didn't get into any positions of power, then we wouldn't be in the world of hurt that you say that we're in. So really, this is on you. This isn't on them. So if they are the problem, you created the problem because you didn't get the people out to vote. So it's like you can't blame the other side if you didn't do enough. But again, what we're trying to do is we're trying not to maintain the division. We're trying to bring people together and realize we can't do it alone. And if we try, we will fail. That's a guarantee. It's been borne out through history. A house divided against itself does not stand. And that's the sad reality. But one of the things that I'm hoping that we can do through these programs is share with people the ideas, the concepts that you're not alone. That's extremely important to understand, that no matter what you're going through, you're not alone. And what I am also promoting through my book that I finally finished in 2017 and hopefully will be out sometime soon, is that it doesn't matter what your circumstances are where you're feeling alone, you always have choices. What those choices are up to you. But if you haven't been educated, and I'm an inordinate supporter of education in the broadest sense, mm-hmm. if you haven't had the education to show you that there are a myriad of choices, but you've just been told what to think, well, then you need to do more investigation and research, because I've learned this primarily through working with computers over the last 25 years. There is always a workaround. I don't care what it is. There's always a workaround. And whatever the situation is, that's just the term I use. But we have so many opportunities and choices. But there are those who don't want us to know that those choices exist. Ergo, they will deprive people of that education. I used to jokingly say that I was going to go back and sue my grade school and high school for educational malpractice, you know, because there was so much that I didn't get exposed to that I should have been, you know, like mythology and philosophy and on and on. And the list goes on. But I want to let people know about a few things that you are doing. First of all, you've got several works out, Songs of Eternity, Contemplations, Treatments, and Meditations on the Word of God, Divine Romance and Perfect Partnership, The Immortal Principles and Powers of Divine Love, Divine Prosperity, The Unexpected Income Program, 12 Steps to Your Perfect Consciousness of Infinite and Eternal Supply. I like this one, Mysticism and Ultimate Divine Healing Processes, The Perfect Principles and Patterns of God. Could you alliterate a little bit more? I don't see enough alliteration in there. And then, of course, we're talking also, of course, of the book Bridge of the Gods, A Handbook for Ascending Humanity, The Golden Pathway to Your Highest God Self. The website is RevDrLindaDeKoff.com. That's RevDrLindaDeKoff.com. We will be linked to that website as well, and we encourage you to go there and investigate and check out what Linda has to offer. And Linda, I want to thank you for taking so much time to share with us here on the program. This has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed this, and I hope that it was informative and enlightening and as well as entertaining to our listeners. And secondly, Should you find yourself here in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio to talk more about these subjects.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Well, that ought to be coming about within, you know, a couple of months, so I'll let you know. But, Richard, it is a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm very grateful for your asking me to do this interview. And thank you for pointing people to my website. They should also know that in addition to these books, there are full talks that I'm currently running on higher consciousness themes. You know, so if people really want to study in depth, like we were talking about, and they'll find once a month I'm producing a talk, which, you know, you can find on my website under the archive month, you know, and it's on YouTube. So they can listen to information specifically directed to a particular theme.
Oh, great, great.
And every month you'll see in the setup on my website, you'll see January, you know, the Divine Consciousness talk.
And then you'll see
an event, you know, that may be going on, too. So there's lots of good stuff, and at least once a month, those, you know, longer talks for deeper studying and meditations are up there.
Well, we will encourage people to certainly go to your website and investigate all that. Also, before we let you go, and again, thank you so much for the time. Also, we want to ask you three final questions we'd like to ask our guests as we wrap up the program. The first question is, and I'm gonna keep it just to your name. Who is Linda DeKoff?
I am that I am.
Okay. I like it. I like it. I like it. Very good. Very good.
So, I mean, how do you want me to answer that, Richard?
however you choose to, that was a wonderful answer. Our second question is, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I'd like to see so many people liberated in their lives, freed, and finding new joy from being able to let go all the limitation and to, you know, have access to the true bounty of all kinds, relationships and work, financial, all the things that mean things to people. I would like to see that happen. That is my greatest joy, and that's why I wrote the book, so people can have find tangible, easy ways to accomplish, you know, what you and I have been talking about. And so my books have wonderful stories where you can get, you know, you'll know through the story of when somebody applied a certain principle and how life changed for them, how it will change for how the audience will know how it'll change for you. So that's my greatest joy. And I'd like to get, I am starting work on another, this particular series was 7 books, and that's to give out those divine patterns in all the areas of life that are important for people. And the next series that I'm going to be doing will be a 4-volume series of specific smaller lectures, let's say, you know, essays and lectures on different spiritual themes. And each volume will concentrate on one area. So, you know, for instance, one will be raising consciousness, evolving consciousness. The second will be on the creative laws and so on. So through my books, I want to give people the gamut. I want them to be able to get from A to infinity, from where they are to the infinite. That gives me great joy.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, again, Reverend Dr. Linda DeKoff, thank you so much for joining us on the program. And again, the reminder, it is RevDrLindaDeKoff.com. We will be linked to her website. We encourage you to go there as well. And also a reminder that if you're listening to the radio broadcast, there is an afterview of this program. In other words, there's more to this interview than just the 50 minutes that you will hear on the radio broadcast. So go to richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and go to the link to Linda DeKoff's website, as well as to the play button for the interview. Linda, again, thank you so much. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.